have enjoyed the sermon this morning. Brother Els has been a real blessing to us today here at the church. Last Friday when I talked to him about coming up, I really doubted if I'd even be able to be here today because I was feeling pretty tough. I'd had evidently what has been going around in this area. But I'm sure glad to be feeling better and glad to be here for this sermon this morning. And I feel like that God has been honored in the preaching today, and the church, I'm sure, has been edified and built up. I'd like to just spend a few moments in closing today in that same chapter that Brother E.D. was reading to us from. I suppose the 23rd Psalm is the most familiar portion of Scripture in all the Bible. And it's just filled with tremendous comfort and blessing for God's people. I want to notice a few thoughts in verse 4 where David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The Bible is a very realistic book. It does not ignore the reality of death. The Bible does not shun the subject of death. But the Bible is also a book of great comfort and hope and optimism for God's children. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You know, I don't personally like the valley and the dark times. I don't like the storms. I don't like the thunder and the lightning. That's not my preference. I like a day like today, you know, when the sun is shining so pretty. I love sunny days. And I was thinking, as E.D. was preaching, about an experience that I had last year. I was flying out to Tyler, Texas, and I had driven up to Atlanta in a driving rain, and thundering and lightning was everywhere, and I got on the airplane and we were beginning to back out from the terminal, and it was still stormy weather. And I said to this fellow next to me who was from Greece, we had visited a little and got acquainted, and I said, "You know, I enjoy flying, but I prefer the sun shining when I'm flying." And he patted me on the back and he said, "It is." And he said, "You just wait a few minutes and you'll see it."
Amen.
And you know, he was right. In just a few minutes, that big jet plane had us way up there above the dark, stormy clouds, and the sun was shining as pretty as you could ever hope to see it. And I've got a lot of blessing out of that experience. Today, in nature, it's mighty pretty outside, but for a lot of people, it's a stormy day.
Amen.
For the little family, it's a dark, stormy day. For a lot of you, there's storms in your life right now. You may be facing serious terminal diseases. You may be having marital problems. You may be having financial problems. Your parents may be seriously ill. Your children may be breaking your heart in a thousand pieces. Brothers and sisters, this life gets rough sometimes. And everybody's going to have to go through the valley of the shadow. But what I'd like to be able to do this morning is to remind you, like that Greek did on that airplane that morning, the sun is shining.
Amen.
And if you just wait a little while, you'll see it. A lot of God's people panic in the storm. And they can't see any way out. And they think this is unbearable. And a lot of God's children make mistakes in those storms. But I'd like to be able to remind you today that beyond every dark storm and cloud in this world, the sunshine of God's love is there.
Amen.
And if you'll just be patient and wait on the Lord, those dark clouds will roll on by and the sun will be shining. And you know, sometimes when you go to church, it's just like getting on a jet plane. For a little while, the gospel takes us above the dark clouds.
Amen.
And we'll have a good time. That's why I want to go to church as often as I can. I tell you, last Saturday night in Augusta, Georgia, we were flying above the clouds. It was a wonderful time in the Lord, and I don't believe I've ever been in a better gospel meeting than I was in last Now, the whole meeting was good with Brother Hunt, but Saturday night was the peak of the mountain. And it's those times that really do encourage us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't wait until death to travel through the valley of the shadow. I think death stalks us all the time. From the moment we are born to the moment we die, death is imminent with all of us. But friends, listen to what David said. Yea, though I walk. Oh, he didn't crawl through the valley, scared half to death, but he was walking. How can a person walk through the valley of the shadow of death and not be scared to death? Because his hand is in the hand of God.
Amen.
Yea, though I walk. And I love that word, through. Yea, though I walk. He didn't say, yea, though I walk into the valley. If he had said that, that would have implied that death is the end of the road. But it's not. Death is a temporary experience. I believe that with all of my heart, that death is temporary. And you go through the valley of the shadow of death, and if you go through the valley, it means there's another side to that valley. And I believe that on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death is eternal life.
Amen.
Now, death was not part of the program that God had arranged. Death was brought into this world by man and by sin. But this little temporary interruption we call death is not going to stop the program, my friends. God wants his people with him in heaven, and they're all going to be there someday. Now, we're going to have to go through the valley of the shadow of death to get there, but we're still on our way to a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So David would say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you know, I love that thought, shadow. The shadow of a knife can't cut you. The shadow of a bullet can't kill you. The shadow of a serpent can't bite you. And I want you to know that death is nothing but a shadow today for the child of God. The sting has been removed.
Amen.
And the power of death has been conquered. And so death today is but a shadow for the child of God. And we go to sleep in Jesus to await the morning of the resurrection. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I've got a lot of good works, and I've been a good church member all these years, and I've got a lot of righteousness that I can offer to God at the judgment. That's not what keeps you from fearing. I tell you, in that hour of death, it'll make honest men out of all of us.
Amen.
And I think in death, every man will confess, I'm a sinner, poor and needy, and without God's saving grace, there's no hope for me. What comforts us in that hour? Well, David said, thou art with me. I believe Jesus Christ will be there in that hour. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God's people have many enemies in this life. Death is the last one. Paul mentions it as death as being the last enemy. And there's many other enemies in this life. The devil is our enemy. And the world is our enemy. And the flesh and temptation is our enemy, and lust is our enemy. Alcohol and drugs, many of those things are our enemies. But in the presence of our enemies, God can prepare a table for us in this life. Isn't that wonderful, my friends? I read recently this little girl had memorized the 23rd Psalm like E.D. did in the third grade. And one day, she and her brother and the family had a misunderstanding. She's about 4 years old. Her mama fixed her a little table off to herself. Wouldn't let her eat with the rest of the family because she'd misbehaved. And her mama overheard her praying to the Lord, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, she got a little something out of the psalm that day. But that's not what the psalmist had in mind. My friends, God prepares a table of nourishment and comfort and sustenance for his children in the presence of all of the enemies of this life. A happy child of God is a paradox to this world. They can't figure a child of God out. But we understand how they can be happy in the presence of their enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, that would, to me, suggest the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, oil was symbolic of the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God is poured out on an individual and anoints them, ah, what a blessing that is.
Amen.
There is nothing in this time world equal to feeling the presence of the Spirit of God in one's life. It makes you happy in the Lord. Paul said to the Ephesians, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." There's something better than alcohol. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, you know why we have to keep going back to the filling station and being filled? Because all of us leak, spiritually, that is. I do. You know, there's only one baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. You're only baptized once in the Spirit. You're only born of the Spirit one time. But the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit over and over and over, again and again and again. And I need to be filled with the Spirit of God daily in my life. And what a blessing that is, my friends, when God anoints us with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And it enables us and strengthens us for the journey of life. And I'll tell you what, when a child of God is void of the Spirit, he's a burden to himself and everybody else. Did you know it? When you show me a child of God that's not in the Spirit, not walking in the Spirit, not filled with the Spirit, he's just sitting there in everybody's way. Have you ever been on a busy interstate, like up in Atlanta, and maybe there's four lanes of traffic, and you happen to get behind somebody that has run out of gasoline? Now, that's provoking. Because up there, you know, there's only two kinds of people in Atlanta, the quick and the dead. And you got to be on the move in Atlanta just to stay out of the way. And here's somebody, had this happen one time, run out of gasoline. You just would like to grab them and, you know, and shake them and help them to remember never to do that again. Well, they're sitting, they're not only hindering themselves, they're hindering other people behind them. Well, here's a child of God in the church, but he's run out of the Spirit. He's sitting there, he's not getting anywhere, and he's hindering a lot of other people. You can't get anywhere in God's service if you're not filled with the Spirit. First of all, you can't even sing without being in the Spirit.
Right.
Amazing Grace doesn't even sound right if you're not in the Spirit. It sounds like some foreign song written in Latin, brother, if you're not in the Spirit. You can't pray if you don't have the Spirit. You sure can't preach without the Spirit. You can't hug your brother and your sister's neck and say, "I love you," if you're not in the Spirit. But the Spirit of God enables us. It's like putting gasoline in the tank. It gives us energy and power to move on down the road. And that's what we need today in our lives, is the anointing of the Spirit of God in our lives. You say, "Well, preacher, what do I have to do to get it?" You have to walk close to God. That's right. My friends, you can't live out here in the world and satisfy the lust of the flesh and disobey the laws of God and expect to come to God's house and be anointed with the Spirit of gladness. Doesn't work that way. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Bible, the Spirit of God is compared to a dove. You remember that? The Spirit of God came the day Jesus was baptized in the form of a dove and lit upon his shoulder. The Spirit of God is never compared to an aggressive animal. Never is. It's always compared to that sensitive little dove. Now, a dove is a loving little animal, but a dove is easily offended, and it's a very sensitive little creature. So it is with the Spirit of God. And if you and I aren't living right in this life, we grieve the Spirit, we offend the Spirit, we quench the Spirit, and the Spirit leaves us for a while. And I tell you what, when the Spirit of God leaves you, it's just about like breath leaving the body. It's death, my friends, to the child of God, not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Spirit and offend the Spirit and cause it to take its flight and leave us in the flesh. I tell you, this life is hard enough with the presence of God by our side. It's impossible without His presence. I agree with Elsie. That's a beautiful hymn. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. But I want Him to live in my heart. I don't want Him just to be around me, brother. I want Him to be in me. I want to feel the presence of God in my life. And willful sin in our lives grieves the Spirit, so that we go to the church house where once we used to take trips to heaven on Sunday morning, and now it looks like we go the other way. What happened? Somebody's grieved the Holy Spirit, and the anointing is not there. We need the anointing of the Spirit of God in this life. And oh, how wonderful that is when the Spirit of the Lord is in our midst to give us energy and to give us joy and wisdom and happiness in this life. Yes, David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." And then what did he say? "My cup runneth over." Ah, listen, when the Spirit of God is with us, and the Spirit of God is anointing us, and the Spirit of God is giving us vision, and it's giving us spiritual hearing, and it's giving us spiritual understanding, our cup just begins to run over with joy. And you know, God has got so much, He doesn't have to worry about spilling a little bit. Yeah. You know, when it'd be wasteful for you and me to fill up a glass with tea or Coca-Cola or water for that matter and cause it to run over. You and I shouldn't be wasteful. But you know, God is so resourceful, brother and sister, He can cause your cup to run over with joy, not waste a bit of it. God's blessings are so great that you and I will never be able to soak them up in this present life. We won't ever be able to consume the blessings of God in this world. It'll take eternity, and still we'll never consume the blessings of a loving and wonderful God.
Amen.
And I want to know something about it down here on this earth. Oh, don't you know that David was blessed to write that beautiful psalm? And it's a blessing to us today to be able to look into it and see the beauty of the Word of God. Now, I want to close by going back a minute. I'd love to have time to really preach on that anointing of the Spirit of God. Oh, my friends, how needful that is in the church today. You know, some people have spiritual life, but they don't have, they're not enjoying it. It's like, Franklin and I went to see Jimmy Little when he was in the hospital and he was in intensive care. And the doctor came out and the family said, "Is he living?" And the doctor said, "Yes, but barely." Now, he was alive, his heart was still beating, and he still had all the signs of life, but he wasn't enjoying the abundance of his natural life because he was in the intensive care unit. Now, a person can have life physically, but not be enjoying the abundance of his natural life. Did you know that's the truth spiritually as well? A lot of God's people have spiritual life. They're born again. They're children of God. But they checked into the intensive care unit a long time ago spiritually and have been in that unit for years. And now they're not enjoying the church. They're not enjoying their life on this earth. Oh, my friends, when the Spirit of God is in you and abounds in you, it makes you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it gives you the abundance of life. You know what breaks my heart? Every day of my life, my heart is broken as I look around and see God's little children that could be enjoying the good life. I'm talking about people that have had every advantage of enjoying the abundance of the Christian life on this earth. And they're barely surviving spiritually.
Amen.
Their little old cup is so dry, it looks like a powder keg in the bottom of it.
Amen.
Haven't seen a drop of the Holy Spirit in years.
Amen.
Get in a good meeting, you know, where people are really happy in the Lord and they think the rest of us lost their mind. They're so far away from the Spirit of God.
Well,
and other people, I see their cup just running over, just having a happy time all the time. And I know that all of God's children could have that cup running over all the time. And a lot of them don't even have a drop of the Spirit in the cup. And that breaks my heart to see that. And it's my job, my privilege, to try to lead you to the fountain, brother, that never runs dry. It's my pleasure to tell you about a Spirit that if you will not grieve it, it'll spring up within you like an artesian well and give you energy and joy the world could never know anything about. Heard this illustration one time. A man was out in a field in Texas and he saw this man, what looked like a man pumping water out of an old pump, a water pump. And this man was so faithful and continuous and consistent and energetic and tireless in pumping that water. He couldn't believe a human being had that kind of energy. As he got closer, he found out it wasn't a human being. It was an outline of a human being cut out of wood, and somebody had put it on a machine that was hooked to an artesian well. And that water, with that mighty power coming up out of the ground, was turning that man, you see. Well, you know, Jesus said to the woman in John chapter 4, He said, "There is a water that if you knew about it, you'd never thirst again. And you know what he was talking about there? The Spirit of God.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ said it'll spring up in you like living waters. And I believe, my friends, the Spirit of God today, if it's not grieved in the lives of God's children, can bring you joy and happiness and energy and strength and put a real smile on your face.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Put a real smile on your face and a little bounce in your step and a little twinkle in your eye and a song on your lips and praise in your mouth. And say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, you creatures here below. Praise Him, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. May God bless you, and I thank you for your attention.